Well, take your Bible, turn to Mark chapter 9. We started a series of thoughts last week calling it the With God Life. Life was designed to be lived with God at the very center of everything. Everything that you are. Paul said it like this: in Him we live and move and have our being. Life is meant to be lived with God at the center, pulling all life together, we're drawing all of our life from Him. Humans were created to be God's representatives. We're created to have partnership and fellowship with God. We're His partners on the earth. That's how it was designed. But we broke from the creative order. We know the story. Sin has caused us to break from the creative order. We've made a choice, all of us collectively and individually, to go our own way. And that's what's caused all the chaos and all the conflict in the world that we see today. Now, last week, we talked about this statement that Jesus made, to take my yoke upon you, right? He invited, He said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Just a quick review. I could show you, if you were here last week, I could show you this yoke. Remember, we were walking around with one. Could you preach my sermon? See, I bet you could preach my sermon. It takes me about 35 minutes to say it. I bet you could say it in 35 seconds, couldn't you? See, preachers, we got a problem with that, don't we? We know how to make something a little longer. Now, what did Jesus say? Help me out. You see the picture? We take His yoke. He's the lead ox. We're the one following Him. We get in this together, and we are doing life with Jesus. That's what He said. I want to do life with you. And that's a great commitment on our part. But really, the revelation I get out of it is that Jesus is saying, I'm going to tie myself to you. Now, I understand me wanting to be tied to Jesus. He's wonderful. He's loving. He's kind. He's all wise, and He's all powerful. And I want to be tied to Him. Now, what really gets my mind blown is that Jesus wants to be tied up with me. That ought to just make you drop to your knees and say, thank you, Jesus, that He wants to tie Himself to you. So we're making a commitment to Jesus when we get in this yoke, but Jesus is also making a commitment to us to do life together, to help us, so that we can learn how to live life the way He says. Now, we're going to get into Mark chapter 9. We're going to get to another story today. We're going to talk from the subject, with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. Let's read the text together. We're going to start in verse number 14 and go all the way down to verse number 29. Read along with me. And when He, Jesus, came to the disciples, He saw a great multitude around Him and the scribes disputing with them. And immediately when they saw Jesus, they saw Him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to Him, greeted Him. And He asked the scribes, Jesus asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? The one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. Stiff. He basically has what mama would call a spell right there. It's pretty dramatic, pretty graphic. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. And He, Jesus, answered this dad and He said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? I believe He's looking at the disciples saying all that. How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to Jesus. And when He saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he's thrown him both into the fire and to the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, see the tie? If you can do anything, help us. And Jesus says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? Why couldn't we help this little boy? So he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Come on, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We give it our attention. And Holy Spirit, I pray you'd help us to see what we need to see this morning. I pray you'd minister to each heart, each soul, Lord. And this passage is really about faith, Lord. I pray you would just strengthen our faith. Help us to see you more clearly, Lord, so that we could just have the faith that would please you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. 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 So we got a desperate situation, right? It's pretty dramatic, isn't it? Now, if something like that was to happen in church, I would look up and half of y'all wouldn't even be here anymore. Right. We got to go. It would be pretty dramatic. It would be shocking to the senses, to say the least, to see something of that nature. But we got a desperate situation. We got a family in crisis, and it's kind of the worst kind of crisis. It's the kind of crisis that just won't go away. This is a chronic problem. He's asked, how long has this been going? It's been a long time. Ever since he's a little boy, this has been happening to him. So this son is in torment. And it turns out that he's vexed with the demonic spirit. And he's out of control of himself. And from time to time, this spirit will seize him and take control of his body. And the dad has told Jesus, he said that he throws him into the water. He will try to drown him. He'll do all kinds of things, cause him to burn himself. And you know, all this self-destructive behavior. And this father is having to witness this. There's probably a mother somewhere in the background. You got a boy who is in great torment and great trouble, and nobody can seem to help him. The dad's been all over the place. It's a real desperate situation. They've been to all the doctors. They've been to all the healers. They've been to the church services, so to speak. They've been to the leadership. Now they're coming to the believers. They can't seem to get an answer to this problem. We have a father who is absolutely at his wit's end. Some of y'all know that street, right? Wit's end. Some things just seem to test you to the very hilt of who you are. He's at wit's end about his son's condition. They've been all over the place. Nobody has helped. They've spent lots of money trying to get deliverance. It's a desperate situation. They bring the boy to the disciples, right? Jesus is obviously off somewhere. He's maybe doing some other business or taking care of something, maybe teaching somewhere else. Disciples are over here. And in the crowd, they bring this little boy to the disciples. And I'm assuming he's a little boy. Maybe he's a teenager by this time. They bring this boy to the disciples. But it says that the disciples are distracted. Distracted disciples. While this man is having a crisis that needs attention, they're having an argument over here about theology. It says that they're disputing with the scribes, and the scribes are disputing with them. The scribes are the teachers. They're the people that are the keepers of the law, and they work hand in hand with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They know the book. They know the law of Moses. They know the prophets. They're very educated people. They would be like the theologians of their day. And they kind of hem the disciples up, and they begin to talk to them about maybe some of the things Jesus has been teaching. Like, what do you think about that? And isn't it interesting that they try to corner the disciples? I don't think they want any of Jesus. They probably ought to have some rounds with him. But they'll hem up the disciples and try to pin them in a wall, pin them to a wall. And the disciples fall right into the trap. While somebody over here needs a lot of help, they're over here arguing. And how much of our disputing over minor things, the color of this, the cost of this, the things that don't even really matter when it all comes down to it. The church gets distracted a lot, don't we? We get distracted from the mission of what God has called us to. And these disciples are distracted. How much of our disputing over minor things has caused us to be distracted from the major things which are bringing honor and glory to God and helping people who are really in need? And the major thing is here. This man and his boy needs help. And they're too distracted to give this man what he needs. So Jesus comes and interrupts the dispute. Isn't it good when Jesus comes and interrupts an argument? All you married folks ought to say yes and amen. Maybe you should have showed up last night or this morning, huh? The man in need speaks to Jesus, and he hears him. All right. Now, these distracted disciples, we see them distracted from time to time. And you know what? We can really relate to these guys. You know what? You see all of Peter's things and all of his faux pas he does, all the mistakes he makes. And you know what? I read after Peter and I read all the disciples and they question Jesus and they're having a struggle following Jesus. And I can really relate to all that, can't you? It's not easy to follow Jesus. It's worth it, but it's just not easy. He stretches me beyond what I call my comfort zone. And they're distracted. And later on, it'll even say that they're absorbed in their own selfish desires. Later on, they're going to have an apostolic conversation. And that conversation is going to surround this question right here. You want to know what apostles talk about when they get together? Who's the greatest? Isn't that something? I know we don't have those kind of problems. We're just here to serve, right? We're not here to be seen and heard. We don't really have those kind of problems as people do it. Ah, yeah, we do. We do. And they're distracted by the arguing. They're absorbed with their selfish desires, and they really can't do the mission that God has called them to do. Let's don't be distracted. We've had enough of that. We've had enough of things that's got us off mission, got us off plan and purpose. And you know, the enemy doesn't care. He doesn't care how he distracts us as long as we're just not doing what we're supposed to be doing. So, let's don't be distracted. Brings me to another question. Why are disciples, the disciples of those days, the disciples of our day, why are we so easily distracted and powerless? I mean, you know, it would be tough. People bring a chronic situation to any of us. It'd be tough. But why are we so easily distracted and why are we so powerless? Because when you read the New Testament, there's all kinds of promises about God being in us, God being with us, the Holy Spirit empowering us, filling us, gifting us, flowing through us, rivers of living water coming out of us. All these promises, all these things are said of us as disciples, and yet we find ourselves amongst a culture that is really desperate and in need, and yet we're powerless. Why are we so powerless? And the tragedy is, this man represents all the hordes of humanity who are brought to the doorstep of the church and yet still cannot find help. Beloved, that's a tragedy. Why are we so powerless? Well, if we fast forward to the very end of the conversation, actually it picks up in a house. Jesus is there with the disciples. He told them why they were so powerless. He said, the reason you're so powerless and you couldn't help this man in this situation. Now, I'm really glad that they asked the question because it kind of showed that they cared and that they wanted something better. But Jesus responded to them, said, the reason you couldn't help this terrible, chronic, difficult situation is because of a lack of prayer and fasting. Because this kind can only come out through prayer and fasting. Now, what's he talking about? Prayer and fasting, is that the magic formula that if we pray and fast enough that God will do something? No, that's not really the concept. The idea is that Jesus says this kind can only come out with really strong fellowship with the Father. We're somebody that's really in conversation, this idea of prayer. And fasting is this idea of you sacrificing yourself for the sake of God. You know, I like feasting a lot better than I like fasting. Anybody? But fasting is one of those things that where I learn to put my selfish desires aside. To where I learn to sacrifice my flesh, is what Paul calls it. To sacrifice or crucify my flesh for the sake of Christ and what He has for me to do. And I don't know how it works. I just know that it works. Is that when I make those kind of sacrifices, and I do it intentional. It's not an accidental thing. When I make those kind of sacrifices, and I consecrate myself to God in a new way, and I converse, and what time I may spend eating or taking care of myself, those times I spend instead with God, and I commune with Him and I fellowship with Him. That creates a powerful life in the earth. Now here's what I get out of that. You notice Jesus did not say, the reason you couldn't heal that boy is because you're not me. I tell you why you can't heal him, because you're not the Son of God. I'm the Son of God. He could have said something like that. But instead, he gave them an answer that suggested that they could have the power to help when somebody's in crisis. Do you understand what I'm talking about? She does. She's saying amen back there. How about that? I love it. He answered them with an answer that would imply that you can do something about it, but it's not about you doing something about the situation. It's about you drawing closer to the Father. It's about you communing and fellowshipping with God. That's what it's about. And if you commune and fellowship with God and do what's necessary, the power will come. Because, beloved, God has planted us here. All of us individually, our families, this church, God has planted us here to put His power on display. Now, I don't know what that's going to look like, but I will tell you this. It looks like changed lives, and it comes in all kinds of fashion. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God has put you here and called you for that kind of purpose? Do you believe God has put Pleasant Grove here for that kind of purpose, to be a city set on a hill, to be a light to this community, to be the power of the gospel to this community, to be the love of Christ to this community? Do you believe God has done that? Yes, and He has not left us powerless. He's given us the Holy Spirit to work with us and work through us so that we can help. And I don't know how He's going to do it. He's going to do it in all kinds of different ways. But He's going to help us help people. That's what He does. So you might as well get ready. You might as well just start expecting God to do stuff. Because God's all about helping people. And isn't it interesting that when nobody else could help, Jesus could. See, I'm a Jesus can man. Ron can't do much. I can just tell you. I can share a few things. I can talk a few things. But when it comes really down to it, either he does it or it doesn't get done. See, Jesus and the disciples, see, they can't, but he can. They're distracted, but he's got laser focus. He knows exactly what his purpose is in this situation. He knows exactly what needs to be done. He even sees the invisible. And they're powerless, and we're powerless sometimes. He's powerful. And why the difference? Jesus is connected. And they're distracted. Let's bring it up. Jesus is connected. We're distracted. We've got to change that distractedness to connectedness. All right. This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. All right. Tell us the first faith lesson. The second faith lesson here is really what drew me to this text. It's this phrase that Jesus says to this man. With God, all things are possible to those who believe. Can you say that with me? Just say that with me. With God, all things are possible to those who believe. So Jesus responds to this dad's request. Jesus responds and says, can you believe? Now, it's one thing to believe God, but it's quite another to believe Him when you're in a chronic, unending crisis type situation. I mean, when you're in a crisis like this, your faith just takes a beating. You get on that roller coaster, you know, all the emotions where you're hoping things go good, and you see some signs, and then you get a doctor's report and it's good, and then next thing you know, you go back and you get to feeling bad again. But a chronic situation just beats us up, doesn't it? And when you tried and you cried and you done all the things, and then it still didn't work, and disappointment sits in, and depression's a real thing, and it'll sit in your soul, and it'll walk around with you everywhere you go. Discouragement begins to sit in, and that can absolutely be lethal to your faith. And the revelation that Jesus throws out right here is faith in the Lord opens up possibilities. Hebrews 11 tells us faith pleases God. It even tells us what kind of faith pleases God. How do you get there? How do you get there? Let's talk about this phrase a little bit more. With God, all things are possible to those who believe. Okay. Now, the world has an idea about this statement. But there's two words that they leave off. The world's idea is similar. The world's concept of achievement or getting things done is similar to what Jesus said, but it's very far different. The world will say, all things are possible, just believe. Believe in yourself. Just, you can do it. Just go ahead and get your education, go ahead and get this, and go ahead and do this, and all that kind of thing, and you can make something great out of yourself. See, the world's kind of got a little philosophy like this, but they cut somebody out of the equation. Guess who they cut out of the equation? That with God part. They cut that with God part out. It's mankind's greatest mistake. It'll be your greatest mistake and my greatest mistake if we do it. That we cut God out of the equation and we try to be successful and we try to live life on our terms and do it like Frankie did, do it my way. It's the very thing that got us in the mess in the first place. The world cuts God out. We cut God out. And so we've got this God void in our life. And guess who we exalt to the throne? Ourselves. And we say, I can do all things if I just believe. See, Paul said that kind of thing in the Philippians. You know it very well. Tim Tebow used to wear that 4:13 on his eye patch. Remember that? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, the world take Christ right out of it. It says, I can do all things because I got the strength or I'll find it. Be careful, beloved, that you don't cut God out of your life. Because what you're going to find out is that God actually is your life. And it's not all things are possible. The message, Jesus says, is with God, all things are possible. See, you and I don't make good gods. We exalt ourselves to the throne of our own life. We make our own decisions. We do our own thing. We don't make good gods. There's already one God, and you are not Him. Nor can you do a good job doing His job. With God, all things are possible. Say that with me. With God, all things are possible. So with God, so somehow or another, Jesus is saying, He's saying to this man, He's saying to us, with God. So somehow or another, we've got to get God involved. Whatever it takes, whatever you got to do, you've got to get God involved in your situation, in your life, in your healing process, in your peace of mind, in your relationships, in your marriage, in your career, in your job, in your focus, in your decision making. You've got to get God involved because the possibilities don't open up on your terms. They open up with God. With God, all things are possible. So faith in the Lord opens up possibilities. In our hands, there are limitations. But through Christ, we have access to the unlimited resources of heaven. Think about that. See, we've got limited resources. I only got so much money in the bank. And it's getting little by little. It dwindles, doesn't it? We've got limited resources. We've got limited resources on time. We've got limited resources on energy. We've got limited resources on wisdom and knowing what to do. We're very limited in those areas. But when we get God involved, we can have access to the unlimited resources of heaven. And beloved, that's worth asking. That's worth a prayer. So you need healing in your body? There are no healers in the house. And I don't recommend you go to their crusades. There are no healers. There is a healer. And it's Jesus. And you got to get Him involved. Thank God for Dr. So-and-so. They help us. But you don't dare go to Dr. So-and-so without going to Dr. Jesus. He's the great physician. You understand? Get him involved in the situation. In your mental health, they're teaching us all kinds of things that are humanistically involved and all these kind of things. And again, they exalt man and they exalt you to the throne of your own life. Don't let that happen. Put God in the center of all of that. Your mental health, your marriage, put God in the center of it all. Because the possibilities are not opened up when you do better. The possibilities are opened up with God. I'm preaching better than you're shouting, I can tell you that. Whew, I done got hot up here. Get Jesus involved. And somebody in that crowd had sense enough to say, hey, there's Jesus. Let's go get him. Let's bring him over here. He can help this boy. He can help this man. Maybe it was the dad said, oh, and y'all over here, y'all carrying on and stuff. I ain't got time for you. There he is right there. That's the one I need. You better get there. You better get there. Get Jesus involved. Prayer, asking, listening, obeying is the way to do it. And they ask Jesus and things turn around. Did you notice the exchange? Let's wrap it up. Did you notice the exchange between the man and Jesus, the dad? The dad looks at Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God. He looks at Jesus and he says, if you can do anything, have compassion and help us. That's a great thing to ask. If you can do anything. And then Jesus kind of throws it right back at him and has a request for him. If you can do anything, and Jesus speaks and says, if you can. Did you see that? Jesus is clever. You got to read him. You need to read what he says now. If you can do anything, and Jesus said, wait, if you can believe. And Jesus is not being, he's not being coy with the man. He's not trying to be smart aleck with the guy. He just says, hey, this is not on me. This is on you. Can you believe? Because if you can believe, God will open up heaven for you. And he'll heal your boy. Maybe Jesus would ask us that today. If you can believe. Now, after this exchange, if you can believe, this man has a great response. I love his response. It's one of my favorite responses to Jesus in the Gospels. I love what he says to Jesus. It's just honest. It's raw. There's no pretend in it. Don't you just hate pretenders? Pretending is a terrible thing. It's an awful thing. That's what a hypocrite is. That's a pretender, right? The Pharisees, they become pretenders. Nobody likes that. Except the pretender. He looks at Jesus just as honest as he can be. And he says, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I can just put that in Ron English. I believe, but I'm not perfect at it. I believe, but I still struggle with doubts. I believe, but I'm still struggling with this whole thing. My son's in real trouble, and we've been to a lot of things. We prayed a lot of prayers. I do believe, God, that you can, but I just struggle with will you. Do you hear all that in that statement? I believe, but it's an honest statement. It's an honest confession. And you know what I found out with God? He just wants you honest. We learned that from David in the Psalms. David's just as honest. I mean, David's cold-blooded honest. When he gets mad at somebody, David will pray. God break their teeth out. Lord, have mercy. We ain't supposed to pray like that, are we? I know some of y'all did, but it wasn't quite praying, but y'all felt that way anyway, right? What's all that stuff in there about, you know, there's all kinds of crazy stuff that David prays. What is that all about? Well, it's about honesty. It's about David pouring out his heart and how he really feels. Not See, what we want to talk about is how we should feel. God wants to talk about how you really feel. That's the honesty. That's what this man does. I've heard about your miracles. I've heard about the things you can do. And I may have witnessed some of that myself. But Lord, I believe, but I'm still needing help. Lord, I believe. Help me with my struggles. And the miracle happens. Jesus delivers this tormented boy and heals this family. And here's what I want you to see right here. Jesus intervened for the one who had imperfect faith. That's good news. That's seriously good news, because I was thinking I got to get it all right before I get everything I need. Uh-uh. That's not grace, is it? That would be you earning it, wouldn't it? That's not grace. Grace is that God is going to extend His love and mercy to you because He loves you, not because you did better. And Jesus extends grace to this man who has an imperfect faith and in the middle of his struggle. I am so glad Jesus didn't wait until He got it right. Because what if Jesus waits until we get it right? We're going to be waiting a long time. See, beloved, this thing is not based on the quality of your faith. Now, we always need to be growing in faith, strengthening our faith. We always need to be doing that. But this thing is not based on the quality of your faith. It's based upon the everlasting faithfulness of God. And you've got to know that. Jesus teaches us that right there. And He extends His mercy to a man who didn't have it all together. And he was at his wit's end. And He healed him, not because of that man's faith, but He healed him because of his faithfulness. And beloved, God's faithfulness is the foundation of our faith. The last lesson, and this is my last close. See Jesus right here. The revelation that we get out of this is that Jesus has all authority and He has all power. With God, all things are possible. In this story, Jesus reaches out to this man in need and He proves it. And He proves that impossible things can become possible with the power of God. That's what He does. Amen. So leave here with this. If you can believe, all things are possible with God for those who believe. Can you let that word, all of that word, these are the words of Jesus. These are not the words of Ron. Let that word do exactly what it's supposed to. That word is supposed to zoom right into your heart and change every fiber of who you are. And hearing words like this, that's where we get faith.